Welcome to Impulse Kitty Productions' digital film podcast, where we discuss everything and anything in the digital film world, which includes television shows, Blu-rays, the latest electronics, anything and everything to do with digital or film. So kick back, relax for the next hour or so, and enjoy Impulse Kitty Productions' digital film podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our sexy, brand new podcast. Welcome to Impulse Kitty Productions Digital Film Podcast, or IKP. This is our first official podcast. Yay! Anyway.
That didn't sound right.
So why are we doing podcasts now? Well, we want to branch out. We're trying to start an independent film business and digital film business, and we want to branch out to podcasts, video blogs. We want to touch as many people, build up a fan base, people sometimes like to hear what we have to say. So this podcast will consist of, today, Apple's new products, reviews on the Avengers Blu-ray, 3D Blu-ray, Titanic Blu-ray,
Walking Dead.
We're going to cover some home theater stuff, C100, Canon 7, 6D, and the Blackmagic Cinema Camera. We're going to cover Breaking Dawn Part 2. Yes, Breaking Dawn Part 2. Iron Man 3 trailer. What else? What else are we going to cover? So this podcast pretty much consists of us covering anything in the digital film realm, which anything digital, anything with films, anything digital or film, like, you know, TVs, cameras, anything like that. So, all right. So let's get started. Walking Dead season premiere. Season 3. What did you think? The first episode. Man, they hit the floor running.
They hit it on the nose with the opening. I don't think there could have been a better opening. I love how they changed the viewing at the beginning when they're announcing everybody. It's just like you got
the viewing.
The title sequence. Thank you. My brain's not all there, too.
And she's a director, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's just the zombie that they showed up close to his face with his eyeball moving. And
yeah, they definitely changed the opening credits. They just hit the floor running, I mean, with the group just being like, everyone's a badass. Like they've spent like about eight months. It's about 8 months later where we last left them.
You got Lori on the run pregnant. You got Carl now that's a lot more wiser than
was. Carl's older and he's much more of a badass.
Yeah,
carrying a gun, killing walkers, everybody. There's no more Shane bullshit.
He's helping cover people's asses.
Yeah, and then like fucking Daryl's become like Rick's right-hand man. They fucking are in sync.
Yeah.
Like I love that. Because Daryl's one of my favorite fucking characters in the... they hit the floor running. I mean, they take over the prison. They fucking...
Even Maggie. Maggie's like...
Yeah, everybody's a badass. Carol's a badass. She's fucking shooting. Although she almost fucking shoots Rick, which is kind of funny. Just FYI, this podcast consists of nothing but spoilers. So... So The Walking Dead, and then we move into the second episode, which was the first episode was called Seed, and the second episode was called Sick, and we pick up where we left off in episode 2, where Herschel gets his leg amputated because he gets bit by a walker. No!
He walked right over a walker, and sure enough, got bit.
You know, I really... love Herschel the way he looks. I love his badass beard,
his longer
hair. And I just wish they didn't have to. I hope they don't kill him off. Like, but then again, like, what is he gonna do? Hopping around on the run? It's just, I don't know.
It sounds difficult, but I like the way they're going with it right now. Right now, they're doing pretty well. I almost thought he was gonna die because like he stopped breathing But then Lori brought him back to life, and I was like, oh, I thought he was going to get killed off.
It seems like Lori's trying to redeem her jackassery that she caused.
And if she does, good for her. Hey, cool. I'm down for that. If she doesn't, then honestly.
But yeah, it was, I mean, season so far, like, looks pretty badass. Like,
no disappointments on my end.
Yeah, season two was a little slow in the beginning and picked up better on the second half. I think they spent too much time on the Sophia thing. But definitely this, if you haven't tuned in to The Walking Dead, definitely go out there. I recommend buying the Blu-rays. We bought the Blu-ray collections, and I mean, they're crisp. The sound is amazing. It's a 5.1 Dolby Digital. It's amazing. So catch up and start watching season three.
You won't be disappointed, especially if you love zombies.
Yeah, if you love zombies or
horror, you're good.
The Walking Dead's badass.
It's definitely the best TV series for horror that I've seen.
Season two is a little kind of, it drags on a little bit too much.
It teeter totters a little bit, but it's
still
comes back
tolerable.
And, yeah.
If you have the Blu-rays, you can skip through some bullshit, but it sets up season three really badass. Like, especially if you read the comics, like, it's a whole remix of the comics. You get some parts that are consistent with the comics, and then, like, they remix it, and like, because in the comics, Sophia is alive, and she never dies, and Dale doesn't die, and he develops some sort of relationship with Andrea. And Michonne's finally introduced in this one. Samurai
she looks badass. Yeah, dude.
We still have yet to see the governor of Woodbury. Which
you made a good point. She is badass because she's smart enough to use the zombies as her carriers.
Yeah, she uses these two zombies with their jaws removed and their arms removed.
Instead of her carrying everything.
Yeah, she's got them on this chain leash and she's got them carrying all the
baggage,
gear, and shit. It was pretty badass. So, okay. So moving on, Iron Man 3 teaser trailer. I call it a teaser trailer because it was. It was a teaser trailer. It doesn't come out till May, which is bummer.
Yeah.
But they're going darker in this one. New director. They introduced the Mandarin, Ten Rings. For those of you that don't know, the Mandarin is one of Tony Stark's greatest foes. 10 rings he wears on his fingers each have a specific superpower. Just Google the shit, the Mandarin. Yeah, it looks pretty badass. It looks like Tony's not only delving into nanotechnology, and hopefully looks like he's going to be able to become Iron Man at will, but it looks like he's really in deep shit this time. A lot of people complain that it was too much like The Dark Knight Rises. Like, it feels too much like The Dark Knight Rises.
Because it's not.
I didn't get that feeling when I watched it.
I didn't either.
I don't know. But I'm kind of glad that they're going darker and they're creating a real challenge for him, because it seemed like the first two, you know, he did have challenges, but it seemed more like they were resolved to nice and neat. Like, they weren't, I don't know, they didn't seem like, it was more for a walk in the park for him. Even the Avengers challenge, he had the Avengers team, and yeah, they were going through some big battles and whatnot, but I think Tony Stark hasn't really been challenged up to this point, like really, really challenged to where,
to his full potential. Yeah. Yeah,
so the Mandarin pretty much has super fucking martial art abilities, where he could, in the comic book, he can like punch holes through like his armor, and the Ten Rings, like, fucking one of the superpowers is mind control, and he can give the rings to some of his minions. And I don't know, I mean, like I said, Google the Mandarin and you'll get low down on what kind of villain he is, but it looks really badass. It looks darker, it looks you get the Iron Patriot, and you get Jon Favreau as Happy Hogan again, and Pepper Potts, which Gwyneth Paltrow's
back. Yeah, I'm excited that all the cast is back.
Don Cheadle is War Machine, although I didn't see War Machine. A lot of people are arguing that Iron Patriot was War Machine, but no, I don't think so. Love the new Iron Man suit, the Mark 47, I think.
Yeah, that one's nice.
Like, almost all gold or whatever. It looks pretty badass. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to a bigger, longer trailer with more of an explanation. So moving on to, I guess we should start our review of the Avengers 3D Blu-ray. So we had the privilege of watching the Avengers 3D Blu-ray. Let me run down the specs for you nerds like me that love specs. The Avengers 3D Blu-ray consists of an MPEG-4 MVC, a 1080p resolution, aspect ratio of 178:1, which I'm kind of bummed about because the original aspect ratio was 185:1. Boo on that.
Exactly.
I think if you're going to release any movie in Blu-ray as a director, I would love my stuff.
Keep the original
aspect ratio, yes. It consists of an audio of DTS HD Master Audio 7.1.
Gotta love DTS.
French DTS HDR. I mean, HD HR 7.1. Spanish Dolby Digital 5.1. Subtitles include English, French, and Spanish. It's a 4-disc set. 2 Blu-ray discs, 2 DVDs, digital copy on a disc, digital copy on the DVD copy, and a Blu-ray 3D edition. So it's a region-free, got 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Blu-ray.com, the 3D picture quality, gave it a 4.1. The video quality, non-3D, 4.6. The audio quality, a 4.9. And the special features, a 3.9. They were kind of lacking on the. They were kind of lacking on the special features, huh?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I still was entertained. I still got good information, but they could have done a little bit more with it.
So the Avengers 3D. If you have the opportunity to watch this on 3D, it definitely benefits a lot from 3D. It was converted to 3D. It wasn't shot in 3D. It was converted. And if you're kind of worried about conversions, because there's been some crappy conversions out there,
this
was done very, very well. It was shot on an Arri Alexa. And I guess they were going to shoot it first on a red 3D, a red Epic, you know, 3D rigs and whatnot. But I guess Joss Whedon claims in the commentary that there was a lot of technical problems with red, and there was just, they just wanted, he said, you know what? The first day took too long to set up and everything. So, you know what? We're just going to shoot this and convert it.
Being on a deadline, you definitely need to.
So they went for conversion, which. You know, it's not a gimmick this time around. The 3D actually benefits a lot from this Avengers movie. So, yeah, definitely loved it. I think all the characters got a fair shake.
You can't go wrong with it, especially if you're a comic book fan. The movie was amazing. I've watched it so many times I can't even count anymore.
It's a comic movie. It's a comic book movie. It's like everything. It's a comic book movie come to life. So I thought that was pretty cool. And Joss Whedon, I mean, if you love his work from Firefly to, like, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and
Angel. You're definitely entertained,
so you know his kind of brand of directing and writing and whatnot. So he's very witty and whatnot. And he did really well incorporating all the characters. Finally, we get to see them all.
Yeah.
Fucking kick ass and their dynamics between each other. The only thing I wished, Mark Ruffalo's Bruce Banner and Hulk was really good. It fit into this world, but I really missed Edward Norton, man. I really wish they would have cast him. He embodied to me Bruce Banner.
The personality, his mannerisms, everything. I think he did really well with it.
And the only thing I didn't like is the representation of the motion capture of Hulk, where they seem to make him more Monkey Man than the Incredible Hulk, where Edward Norton, you know, stood up straight, his Hulk, and acted more humanoid than
he's not
than
a monkey.
Yeah.
He's still human. It's just he's...
I don't know, but it fit into this world, this fight. I really enjoyed this one, especially when he fucking flops around Loki like a ragdoll. That was fucking funny.
I like how he's able to control it a bit more. So when Captain America tells him to go and smash,
that was badass. Hulk smash.
He just takes off and smashes everything. But if you notice in that one part,
what?
When after he tells him smash, and he jumps up and hits that one dude on the building,
the Chitauri.
Right when he jumps off, you hear the guy scream. Like, I don't know. Check it out and comment. Tell me. Let me know if. You hear it too. I don't know. Could be hearing things, but I thought it was been funny.
That's the benefit of DTS HD, man. Master Audio. If you have a 5.1 or a 7.1 system, definitely. You know what I'm talking about. we'll get more into home theater in a bit. But yeah, the Avengers, even if you don't have 3D, pick up the Blu-ray. Badass movie. Badass sound. Not so badass special features, which they would have had more. Really good commentary by Joss Whedon. So if you're into all that stuff. Moving on to Titanic 3D Blu-ray. So let's get the specs out of the way. MPEG 4 MVC, 1080p video resolution. Aspect ratio of the 3D version is a 178:1. And the Blu-ray aspect ratio is a 239 original aspect ratio, 239:1. It includes a DTS HD Master Audio 5.1 audio track, English Dolby Digital 2.0, French Dolby Digital 5.1, and Spanish Dolby Digital 5.1. Subtitles include English, Spanish, French. And it is a 4-disc set, 4 Blu-ray discs, digital copy as download. So let's see. They gave it a Blu-ray.com gave it the 3D a 4.7, the normal non-3D a 4.7. So 4.7 on both. The audio, they gave it a 5.0, which the audio is pretty
badass. It's definitely badass.
And they gave the special features a 4.9 out of 5. So special features.
Can't complain on that one.
I am totally impressed with the special features.
There's not much that wasn't said or shown.
If you wanted to know anything about the Titanic movie, if you were like still having questions since 1997 about certain deleted scenes or the making of it.
Or how about the story in general, the actual Titanic story. You still get them.
You get them in this Blu-ray package. And even if you don't buy the 3D, you still get all the special features. It's amazing. The commentary, the deleted scenes, the featurettes, everything was amazing.
Nothing to complain about on that.
James Cameron, man.
He knew what he wanted. He knew how he wanted to do it. He had a game plan. He planned it out. He did it. There's nothing he wouldn't do. And if there's something that couldn't be done, he made it done anyway. So
I honestly thought that that it would never come to Blu-ray. For the longest time, I thought, wow, this movie should be on Blu-ray. Like, if any movie deserves to be on Blu-ray, it's Titanic.
Yeah, we go and buy movies, and one day we were just like, what about Titanic? Isn't that going to come out on Blu-ray? I mean, we haven't seen that in forever. And here we have a Blu-ray player. I don't want to go and buy it in DVD. And then all of a sudden, oh, look, here's the Blu-ray. It's like I wanted to give it what it deserves, which is good audio, good picture. And finally it came out. And
yeah, it's amazing. Like I said, it's the quality is unmatched. Like, they did a really good conversion for the 3D. You don't always have to watch it in 3D. Is it as good in a conversion as the Avengers? I would probably say that it's neck and neck.
Yeah.
I think the Avengers did a little bit better, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I think in the conversion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's personal opinion.
But one was meant for, like, one was shot for that, and then the other one.
The argument can be made that that Titanic was a gimmick for 3D, but
true.
But they did spend a good amount. Like, James Cameron really said, like, look, if we're gonna convert this, we're gonna do it as if it was shot in 3D. So they did spend a lot of time in it. I think it was really good in 3D.
No complaints on it. They did really, really good.
So moving on to Apple just released its information about their new iMacs and new iPad lineup.
A lot of information.
So let's just run down real quick. They announced the iPad Mini, which everybody kind of knew that they were going to do.
It was coming, yeah.
So the iPad Mini comes in 16 gigs, 32 gigs, and 64 gig models. It includes an 802.11 ABGN Wi-Fi, 802.11n, 2.4 gigs, and a 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi, faster, sexier. It has a Bluetooth 4.0 wireless technology, a 7.9-inch diagonal LED backlit multi-touch display with IPS technology, a 1024 by 768 resolution at 163 pixels per inch. Now, that right there is where I had the problem with it. I was kind of hoping that the iPad mini not only would be a aspect ratio, have a 16 by 9 aspect ratio, but I was really thought it would be a no-brainer that it would have a retina display.
Yeah.
So the display itself is no better than, a little bit better than the iPad 2. So kitties, no retina. That was kind of like a deal breaker. Because once you use a retina display,
it's hard to go back.
Yeah, it is hard to go back. So,
but they did come out with the another generation for
the fourth iPad. We're going to get to that real quick. Let me just run down the specs for... they came out with a fourth generation iPad. And... but before we go on to that, the iPad mini does support a dual core A5 processor, a FaceTime HD camera, 1.2 megapixel photos, 720p HD video, FaceTime video calling over Wi-Fi or cellular, face detection, backside illumination, tap control exposure for video or still images, photo and video geotagging, an aperture of 2.4 in its camera, hybrid IR filter, a 5-element lens, face detection, autofocus, eyesight camera does have a 5 megapixels for photos, video recording, 1080p HD video, stabilization, face detection, tap to focus while recording, and backside illumination. Now, it has it supports the new Lightning connector, a 3.5mm stereo headphone mini jack, built-in speakers, microphone, nano SIM card tray. So the Wi-Fi version, 16 gig, starting price is $329. 32 gig Wi-Fi version is $429. And the 64 gig version Wi-Fi version is $529. Wi-Fi plus cellular starts off at a $459 price point for the 16 gig. 32 gig is a $559. And 64 gigs is... That's weird. Must be a typo here. It says $65.
Yeah, that's a big typo.
Yeah.
It's probably what, like $659?
Something like that. I have no idea, but... So they came out with an iPad Retina 4th generation with... the A6X chip. So that's pretty much all they changed. I think that they changed the FaceTime camera to 720p. Yeah. Although I thought it was already a 720p FaceTime camera.
That's what I thought. Maybe you're wrong.
Yeah. So, so the fourth generation iPad has the A6X faster quad core kind of, graphics processor. So it's pretty badass.
Didn't they change the Lightning connector too?
Yeah, they also have it supports the Lightning connector. Same price point. It starts at $499 at 16 gigs and goes on from there.
They didn't change the prices on it. They just changed those things.
The availability, though, will not be until...
For that, wasn't it?
November 2nd, I think. The iPad mini and the new iPad Retina. Starts shipping on November 2nd. The pre-orders are this Friday. So there we go. We ran down that. And the new iMac, man, like I would go into like all the specs of the new iMac, but that would take forever to read. But they displayed a new iMac with a 5mm thin display. Well, the edge is 5mm thin. It's a really badass.
It's really nice.
Yeah. And it has like, you know, the new Sandy Bridge core processors, I think, and Power Fusion, this where it combines flash storage with your hard drive, and it kind of intelligently knows, like, okay, well, if you're using Aperture a lot or Final Cut Pro 10 a lot, it automatically puts it in the SSD flash drive, so it, you know, pops up faster, and the stuff that you don't use that much, it'll store in the hard drive. So that's pretty cool. It has a, like, definitely Google the new one. It displays the same resolution as the old 27-inch, and the 21-inch is still a 1080p monitor. A lot of people thought they were going to go Retina with the new IMAX, but if they do, it might be next year, right?
Yeah, it's possible it'll be next year.
But I don't know, like. I guess it would benefit. I think the 21-inch would benefit more from it, because the 27-inch is already more resolution than 1080p. So, I don't know. It would kind of suck, though. I'm kind of holding off on buying one. Like, I really want to buy one because I really need an upgrade for my video editing. But I feel like if I buy one, like, sometime in the spring or summer, Apple's going to be like, here's the new iMac with Retina technology and...
I know, we just paid for this. And
yeah, so, like, I'm just kind of, like, holding that. Because, you know,
sometimes patience is good, because then you get what you really want.
With Apple, like, seriously, or with cameras. I mean, they're spitting out digital cameras left and right now. And, like, yeah. Technology is moving so fast that it's hard to buy a television, a computer, because you want to make sure that it's going to last you, like, a long time. And it's, like, the fucking spitting out new ones every other minute, it seems. So, moving on, I guess, what should we talk about now? I think we should move on to cameras. So, real quick, a lot of people know from watching our video blogs on Vimeo and YouTube, we're excited about the C100 camera, which supports the same chip sensor as the C300 and C500.
Stumpy.
We call it Stumpy, yeah. A lot of people aren't too jazzed because it's an AVC HD 24 megabits a second codec, so 8-bit color space. But it does have clean HDMI out, so you can use like a Ninja external recorder and bypass the compression.
The ND filter, that's my favorite, one of my favorite things.
Yeah, it has built-in ND filters, non-electronic ones, which I prefer, because if the electronics take a shit, you can't use your ND filters on the C300. But to each their own. But as it does support, like I said, the clean HDMI out 422. So if you want to bypass the compression, you can really get a good picture quality out of it. I'm not going to run down the specs because I've talked a lot about it on my video blog, so if you want to check those out, go to our YouTube page and our Vimeo page, whichever one you want to. I recommend watching our stuff on Vimeo because it's higher quality. It's closest to the original content. Plus, if you want to download to get like the full quality of our videos, you can go on Vimeo and download them. But if you're a YouTube person, just make sure you hit that 1080p button. If you can't, at least 720p. Please don't 480p us. Don't standard us. Please don't. Oh. No, anyway, but we're excited about this camera. A couple reasons. A lot of people say, why are you excited about this inferior camera that costs $6,000? Well, we're excited about it because it incorporates a lot of the technology of the C300, a lot of the features of the C300, especially C-Log, which is the flat picture profile that's beautiful for grading. I've graded it. And it's awesome. I say the C300 fits in that area where if you're using a 5D Mark III or a 5D Mark II, if you're one of those people that have been using that kind of DSLR and spending about $6,000 rigging it out to make it a video camera, this is where the C100 kind of, you know, shines, where, you know, it doesn't suffer from rolling shutter artifacting like all the DSLRs do.
Right.
Not as much anyway, from what they tell us, that it's going to incorporate the same rolling shutter control as the C300, which is pretty cool. And it's very built for run and gun single operation. It's got a one touch autofocus button. It's pretty much got a built-in LCD screen in the back. And
That's what I like. You can take it anywhere and pretty much.
Yeah, you can. I mean, pretty much you can start shooting out of the box. It shoots to two SD cards slots. It doesn't support the CF cards, but it's literally made for the people that are shooting DSLRs, and it is a better picture. Anything's better
than what I'm shooting with right now. Like right now we're shooting with a 650D T4i, which is really good, but anybody who shoots DSLRs know that there's lots and lots of limitations to shooting with DSLRs. And just having a dedicated digital film camera that you can just record hours and hours of footage without it overheating or I mean, just the built-in ND filters alone are badass. So I don't know. We like Stumpy. And for a $6,000 price tag for, you know, 1080p camera, a lot of people are mad that it doesn't support slow motion. It has a 1080i.
But see, that doesn't bother me. I mean, because ultimately, yeah, it's not like I'm shooting a mad amount of slow motion. So if I want that, ultimately, all I got to do is
I look at it this way. It. If you shot with a 5D Mark II, that has no slow motion. So you find other ways to work around it. And if I ever do want slow motion, I just pick up my T4i and shoot a 720p at 60 frames a second. You know, so there you go.
Exactly.
1080p.
I agree.
I wish it had 1080p 60p. We're in 2012, but I think what they're looking at is they probably, if they included that, or even 720p 60p, it would kind of cripple the C300. So I guess they're trying to protect their cameras, but I think honestly, eventually they're going to do a firmware upgrade where they're going to enable at least a 720p 60p slow motion. So for me, slow motion has become very stagnant, especially since the release of the FS700 Sony with the 240 frames a second slow motion, where once that camera came out, everybody is doing super slow motion. Everybody's super slow motion, everything. And it's just, ugh.
It's like, let us see what the camera does besides slow motion. Yeah, the slow motion is unbelievable. But I want to know what comes around along with the slow motion, not just the slow motion. Because I'm not going to get a camera based on just the slow motion alone.
But it's essential. Some people out there do use a lot of slow motion. So we're not trying to shit on people.
For those people, yeah, good. That's a good camera. Go for it.
Yeah, we're really not trying to shit on the fact that they're there. I mean, I use slow motion too. Don't get me wrong. But it's something that I know I can work my way around. And then the Canon 6D, it's first affordable full frame DSLR. It's a starting price point at $2,000, supposedly, and it's a full-frame DSLR. Don't have too much specs on those. I forgot to write those down, but if you want those specs, just Google the Canon 6D. I'm excited about that one. That comes out, I think, in November.
Soon, very soon.
So yeah, if you've been shooting, wanting to go full-frame and can't really afford a 5D Mark III, definitely check out the 6D.
Good option.
Yeah, and it's got the all-eye IPV compression as the same video functionality of the 5D Mark III. So I assume it also has the anti-aliasing filter that the 5D Mark III uses. You might have to post-shop in a little bit, but hey, man, a full-frame camera at $2,000. I love Canon's aesthetics and low light capabilities.
Yeah, they do really well.
If you're a Nikon person or Nikon person, you know, I don't know. There's something about Nikon that just doesn't really, the picture quality suit my palette, but that's just personal preference. It's like PC people.
Yeah, it's a personal
versus
opinion.
Apple people and Android people versus.
That's why there's
iOS.
Choices.
Yeah, so definitely looking forward to those. I think that's going to be our first full-frame camera. We're deciding, because the autofocus isn't as good for action on the 6D. I mean, the 5D Mark III blows it away. The Blackmagic Cinema Camera also has been trickling out. And for those of you that have been following us on our video blogs, that, say, 2.5K RAW D&G Cinema Camera supports ProRes recording onto SSD media. 4/3 inch sensor and a MFT mount, I think. I'm not really don't know too much about the Blackmagic Cinema Camera because not to add to the ongoing bullshit that's going on out there. A lot of people complaining about the 4/3 in sensor and low light capabilities and bullshit ergonomics and da-da-da this. So I look at it this way. There's a place for every camera that's out there in the world. There's a place and there's jobs for the C300. There's jobs for the 5D Mark III. There's jobs for the Blackmagic Cinema Camera. There's jobs...
Well, that's why there's a variety of cameras out there. There's a job for a lot of things. It's just a matter of your personal preference of what you want to use.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people start shitting on each other on forums and whatnot about, oh, well, my, you know, the C100 is a piece of shit camera and Canon's, like, letting us down. And
because it can't do this and it can't do that. It's like... Well, do you really have to put them down just because it doesn't do what you want it to do? I mean, there's
things to do. I will give them, give these people, Canon, you're overpricing your shit. I will say that. Now, I don't know what it takes to make a camera and, you know, money or whatever, but I honestly think Canon's overpricing their cameras, especially the C300. Coming out at a $16,000 price point for what it does, I honestly thought that wasn't more than the FS700 price point, which is about $8,000, right?
Ten tops
for the C300. We're not even going to get into C500 because I can't even afford that camera. That's like a fucking up there in the 20,000s or 30,000. I mean, I didn't even look it up because it's just... It's their 4K camera. But, a lot of people shit on each other. I say, you know, look, if you're using a Blackmagic Cinema Camera and that works for you, use that. If a C100 fits you more, use that. For us, we broadcast on the internet only. So we don't really need 4K or 2K or you know, these psychotic resolutions.
I can understand if we're, like, needing it or in need of that use for that stuff, but
well, even what we're doing right now is we're spending 2013 building projects and doing projects and building an audience, and by 2014 we hope to be up and running and putting ourselves out there for freelance jobs from events, which hopefully we don't... I mean, you know, you got to get the money wherever it comes.
It is, exactly.
So if we have to shoot a wedding, we'll shoot a wedding. But we prefer to do more controlled stuff like music videos and narratives and stuff like that. So, but I say, hey, you know, use the camera that works best for you. I mean, a lot of people think that 4K is going to take over the world tomorrow. I laugh at that. 4K is out there and it has its purpose. It's for the theater and it's for stuff that can handle it, but come on, man.
Yeah, it's out there. It doesn't mean it's going to take over that quickly.
I mean, not everyone. There's people that still don't even have Blu-rays players. I mean, there's still DVD.
People out there that have DVD. That's it.
I mean, I have 40 megabits a second download speed internet, and I still have problems at times watching 1080p content fluidly. So 4K... taking over, it will eventually become a standard because it's inevitable that higher resolution televisions will be made. But
right.
I mean, they're out there now, but they're nowhere near affordable for a consumer. So let's relax on that 4K is going to take over the world tomorrow. Topic. I think Blu-ray still has at least a 10-year lifespan. So
yeah, it'll still be around for a while.
But anyway, what else? We're moving on to
home theater.
Well, home theater. I say we discuss Breaking Dawn. I say we discuss Breaking Dawn for our female audience, which we want to hit as many people as we can. There's also some male people. I don't want to discriminate. Like me, I like Twilight. I mean, I don't like the first Twilight. I thought the first Twilight sucked. I thought New Moon was okay. Eclipse was much better, and Breaking Dawn Part 1 was, to me, the most rewatchable out of all of the Twilight movies. And I'm excited to see what they're doing with the teaser trailer and the full trailer of Breaking Dawn Part 2 seemed pretty badass.
Especially because they changed the ending. They changed the ending for Breaking Dawn Part 2. Because in the book, it's more tame. It doesn't allow you to really get engulfed in it and be like, oh, wow, that was an epic ending.
Yeah, the ending in the book is kind of anticlimactic. So for those of you that thought the ending should be more action-y, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, they should have kept the ending like in the book. They should do everything like the book. But people, you don't understand. Sometimes when you're making a movie, a lot of things do not translate from book to film very well.
Right.
They just don't. So, I don't know. I'm going to let you take this one. You love Breaking Dawn. I mean, Stephanie Meyer wrote the new ending, which is kind of cool. And from the looks of the teaser trailer, it looks pretty...
Which I'm glad
and the trailer looks pretty badass. Let me know what your thoughts are. Let the audience know what your thoughts and expectations are of Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Well, let's see. Breaking Dawn Part 2. My biggest expectation is that they don't forget a lot of the details in the book. Yes, I'm glad they changed the ending because the ending is like the biggest climactic part ever. Like if you're gonna engulf a person in the movie and make them feel like that was the best way to end it, then you've done your part. I'm very happy that Stephanie Meyer did rewrite the ending because honestly, I like that she had a hand in everything she's done anyway. But my expectations is, honestly, I really want to see how far she goes for Bella. Bella is like...
Yeah, I mean, come on. We've been building up to this this Bella transformation since the first one. So I just want to see a big epic battle between the Volturi and the Cullens. And then they gather all these vampires from around the world to have a big orgy with the Volturi. I mean, no, that's the porn version, I think.
Yeah, but they do go around asking for help because they can't take on the Volturi all by themselves. So they go around the world getting all these, like, vampires that were...
From different covens.
And, yeah.
You know, you got definitely curious to see how Renesmee's played, Nessie. So... And the Jacob Renesmee dynamic, which is kind of creepy if you don't understand it, I guess.
I really want to see how it's going to be with Charlie visually. Like in the book, it's like they talk about him, how he, you know, doesn't see Bella for a while, and then they make up the story about Renesmee.
Yeah, there was a piece in the TV spot where Jacob transforms in front of Charlie. So I'm glad they kept that.
Well, yeah, because I was wanting them to keep a lot of the stuff. There's a lot in the book that they can keep for the movie. It was just the biggest thing was the ending. That was all. But of course, books can't be completely transformed into the movie with all details because it's just too much. But they need to keep the biggest main
storylines.
Yeah.
So November 16th, which is soon. Get your tickets now. Some tickets are available. There's a marathon going on, I think, at some theaters where you, I guess, start in the morning and end at night with all
the
movies.
You can watch Twilight, New Moon, every single one of the movies, up including the Breaking Dawn Part 2.
All right. Moving on. Home theater. What I wanted to discuss is because we recently upgraded our surround sound. First off, people, if you buy at least a 46-inch HD LED or plasma TV, 46 inches on up, please invest at least in a great 5.1 surround sound system. Because Blu-rays contain audio tracks, like lossless tracks, like Dolby Digital, True HD, DTS HD. For those of you that don't know what those are, they're audio codecs, lossless audio formats, which pretty much give you as good of a sound as you heard in the theater. And if you have the right surround sound system, man, that shit will blow your hair back.
It'll make you feel like you're at the theater. You
it's
won't necessarily
HD
have
sound.
To go.
I mean, that's the beauty of Blu-rays. It's not just HD picture, it's HD sound. And definitely invest in a good 5.1 system. Now, the reason I say this is because I kind of got lazy in the whole surround sound system area, and we invested.
Started with the, you know, theater in a box, you know.
Yeah.
It has all the
We didn't start with that. We used to do the receiver. We used to buy a separate receiver and pick out our speakers. But lately we had gotten kind of lazy in our recent upgrade, and we bought a Sony home theater in a box, and it performed really well. And we got a 55-inch LED HD Samsung television, and we were pretty happy. But found out that one of our right speakers kind of blew out almost right away. Not because we were listening to it too loud either.
No.
It just couldn't handle, I guess, the sound. So finally, we invested in speakers because we had to. And we went with Polk Audio, which, dude, Polk Audio, badass. If you're going to invest in the speakers, Polk Audio,
definitely
really badass and affordable. We went with the big center speaker, you know, those big ass center speakers that you see. We decided to not go with the satellite speakers. We have cats, so if you hear meowing or kids running around, we have 3 kids and 8 cats, so sorry for the background noise. So we went with the towers because they were much cheaper. 2 towers in the front, 1 big center speaker in the front, and 2 bookshelf speakers in the back. And it is really badass.
Really badass.
Do not skimp on speakers. My recommendation. If you're building a home theater, do not skimp on the speakers, because we hear so much more detail now in not only the dialogue, especially the center speaker.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard something. Sorry, I'm going to have to open the door and let the cat in. Tell them about the center speaker.
The center speaker is amazing. You can totally hear every dialogue that is going on, every detail. You don't go wrong with it. I mean, it's the best thing we ever did. There's no words to describe how good it is.
Yeah, I didn't think it came down to speakers. I it does come down to the system. So we are planning to upgrade to a Denon receiver. And Denon is one of the great receivers out there. So Denon, Polk Audio speakers, you won't regret it. Definitely, they do make a difference. The better the speakers you invest in, the better sound you're going to get. The better receiver, the better output you're going to get. Definitely, you know, DTS, HD, and Dolby Digital True HD. I mean, I hear everything now, more so than I ever did. I hear those little creaks, every little whisper. It's badass. So we can't go back.
No.
With those satellites.
Why would you? Once it gets that good, there's no point.
Yeah, there's no point in investing in a $2,000 Bose system when this whole system cost us, the 2 towers cost us what?
It was under 300
for the 2 towers. The center speaker was 200.
It was like 260 for the 2 towers, and then the center speaker alone was only like
200, right?
Yeah.
And the 2 bookshelves for the pair, it was only $219.
Yeah.
So
so about 6.
Yeah, and the subwoofer, well, you know, you can shop for any kind of subwoofer. But still at the door meowing. Sorry about that, guys. But if we let her in, she's going to bite on all the wires and whatnot. Her name's Cat. One of the youngest ones we have here. She's still a kitten. So we have this beautiful sound and we have this beautiful TV, but definitely going to invest. We're going to save up for our Christmas present, which we're going to buy for the entire family. Because, you know, we all sit together in our home theater and watch movies as a family. So we figured we'd reward the family. Since we got this badass home theater system, we're finally going to do the ultimate home theater. And we're going to invest in a plasma. Samsung E8000 series plasma.
Exactly. Beautiful.
3D. television, obviously. Yeah, if you're going to go televisions and you really want to go all out, you can't beat plasma. The refresh rate and the lack of color shifting is by far the best. LED technology, a lot of people say, well, why is it more expensive? It must be better. Not necessarily. Plasma refresh rate and the fact that, you know, it's got a wide viewing angle. So, like, you know, with the problem with LEDs and LCD televisions is that when you sit further to the side of the television, even slightly to the side, the picture starts washing out and you lose a lot of that that picture quality. You know, the blacks become more gray.
It becomes more faded.
Yeah, it becomes more faded. So, you know, they have 120 hertz and 240 hertz motion flow stuff to refresh rates. But plasmas have a 600 hertz refresh rate, which, I mean, it's easier. It's more filmic. The picture is far more better.
Exactly.
And you don't get that color shift. You know, you sit to the side and the blacks are still black. Everything's, I don't know. It's, a lot of people still have those concerns of that the old plasmas had the burn hand.
A lot of people still bitch about plasmas, but ultimately, if you treat your electronics the way you're supposed to, and you take care of your stuff, it's not bad of a TV. It's actually a really good TV.
And the Samsung E8000 series, definitely check out. It's one of their new smart TVs, and really good reviews from Techzilla to CNET. Best Buy review. I mean, the out of plasmas, it's their newest plasma, Samsung's newest plasma. If you're going to go plasma, definitely Samsung and Panasonic are the way to go. I think they're the only people that are still pumping out the plasmas, actually.
I think so.
We were going to wait for the OLED televisions, or OLED, whatever you want to call them, but they're still a little too expensive, and you know, plasmas are far. I mean, for 64-inch plasma, you can get anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000. I mean, for a 64-inch. Mm-hmm. Now, you may think, well, why is it so cheap? It's because there's a lot more technology that's involved. And it's kind of like the satellite speakers versus the tower speakers.
Right.
Well, the tower speakers are far superior than the satellite speakers, but the satellite speakers are more appealing to people. So they're more expensive. They're more trendy. So
sometimes people buy more based on what it looks like than what it sounds like.
The performance, yeah. So if you really want to go like really, you know, filmic, like home theater, one, if you have an LED television, I fell prey to this. We both did. That 120 hertz, 240 hertz motion flow plus or motion whatever kind of, you know, when you walk into the store and it looks like the movie's been transformed into like you're there, like a video camera almost.
Yeah.
Like it takes the judder and the
kind
blur
of
out.
As if you're watching it in person there.
Now, we fell prey to this. We thought it was a pretty cool effect. Like we watched all these Blu-ray movies and they look like plays, like they were right in front of us. But as we started becoming more involved in filmmaking wanting to become directors, we realized that we were watching these movies as we wanted to watch them, but not as the director intended you to watch them. And, you know, it kind of came down to me shooting a music video and be like, you know, if I shot something at 24 frames a second and I wanted that judder and blur in there, I wouldn't want someone to watch it and strip all the stuff that I put in there away.
Yeah.
So definitely turn that feature off. You definitely don't need it. And turn the 24p mode on. And that gives you a 24 hertz, pretty much displays the content at 24p. It displays it at 24 frames. It's the closest you're going to get to how it was displayed in the movie theater. So that's what's good about Blu-ray too. And the new Blu-ray players.
I think... You ultimately watch movies because you want to watch a movie. It's not if you want to see a play or you want to see something more like you're there, then there's things.
Yeah,
like
I fell prey to that. Like I thought it is a pretty trippy effect. But I think those modes, those motion flow modes are very beneficial. I blast those modes on Xbox games. It makes the games look more alive. There's not, you know, for video games, it's really more fluid.
It's actually easier on the eyes, too, with detail when it comes to the game.
Yeah, so it definitely has its purpose. But for movies, stick with the 24 frames a second. You know, watch it as the director wanted you to watch it.
I agree 100%.
Same thing with your surround sound system. Don't turn on bathroom mode or concert hall mode. Listen to it directly. Turn off those all those sound modes and just listen to the straight DTS or encoding that it came with. Because
and surround sounds are meant to be heard, so unless you're like in an apartment where you have to keep it down, don't.
Yeah, you know, don't be afraid to pump it up a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, because you go to the movie theater, and one of the complaints I get sometimes, because we have a home theater, and it's like some people have come over and say, "Can you turn it down? It's too loud." It's like, you know what? Do you go to a movie theater and tell people to turn it down? No.
Yeah, you can't go to a theater and say, hey, can we turn this down? It's too loud.
So no. Be warned, if you come to our house, expect to have a mini ETX home theater experience. You know, so we're not going to blow your ears out. We're not going to blow your ears out.
It's just like when you're in a theater.
But it's going to be loud and it's going to be sexy.
Exactly. I agree.
But also, definitely have your television calibrated. A lot of people watch the televisions or HDTVs with that vivid mode on or whatever. And just remember those vivid modes, those bright colors are only put on in the stores to attract customers and to combat the fluorescent lighting.
The lighting, yeah.
So a real calibrated television should be in the dark and should be... because if you watch it on vivid mode, right, you're straining your eyes because you have this bright... shit, it's just true to the content how it was. So have your TV either calibrated, or you can buy a calibration disc like Spears and Munzel. Google that. Which Spears is, and Munzel calibration disc, or Wow, Disney's calibration disc. It's called Wow. It's a Blu-ray calibration disc, and it's and calibrate your TV, you know, go through the little calibration process. It may sound intimidating, but...
it's definitely worth it for your viewing.
Yes. Well, our microphone died on us, so we had to switch to this microphone. Sorry about the audio quality. Next time, we'll be more prepared. It was our first podcast, so... Wah, wah. Okay, well, we'll wrap it up here. Thanks for listening to us. We'll try and do one of these podcasts once a week. So subscribe to us on iTunes. Just in the search bar, Digital Film. Space IKP, and you'll find us. Either it'll be a picture of us or our Impulse Kitty Productions logo that says Digital Film in quotation marks. But yeah, we're on iTunes now, so that's probably the best way you guys can download us and subscribe to us and rate us and comment, and we'll get those comments. Or you can head over to Podomatic, and we're on there as well. We are also on YouTube. And we do video blogs on YouTube and Vimeo, and we post them on our Facebook page at Impulse Kitty Productions. If you want to find our Twitter and our Vimeo page and our YouTube page, we're the only ones out there with the name Impulse Kitty Productions. So just Google Impulse Kitty, one word, space productions, and it'll come up with a whole list of our Twitter page, our Vimeo page, our YouTube page, and our Facebook page. If you guys want to become friends on our Facebook page, or follow us, our video blogs on YouTube or Vimeo, feel free to follow us. This has been Ruben and Sherry.
Hope you guys had a good time listening to us. If you guys have any comments or anything you would like us to talk about, just let us know. Hit us up, comment us, let us know.
Thanks for listening to Digital Film here at Impulse Kitty Productions, or IKP. Now, enjoy your Halloween, and we'll see you next time. We'll hear you next time. We'll talk to you next time. We'll play with you next time. Shit, I don't even know.
Well, one of them. Bye.
Bye.